Could BP be drilling again in the Gulf of Mexico in just a few months?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. The British oil giant BP could restart drilling in the Gulf of Mexico as early as July. That's according to reports this morning from here in the United States and in the U.K. It would be less than 15 months from the time of the worst oil spill in U.S. history. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live now with the latest. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So is this business as usual for BP?
Well, I should say that a U.S. spokesperson says a decision has not been announced, and BP is refusing to comment. But according to these pretty widespread reports, BP is going to be allowed to drill 10 existing wells in the Gulf. These are not new exploratory wells. But if this story is correct, it's a breakthrough. It shows BP's rehabilitation has begun.
And we know the Obama administration, Stephen, has called for the U.S. to be more energy independent. I mean, is this a part of that story?
Very much so. I mean, everything that's happened in recent weeks, the Middle East, the renewed doubts about nuclear power after Japan, have underlined the importance of the Gulf of Mexico for the U.S. authorities. Here's Nick McGregor, an oil analyst with stockbrokers Redmayne Bentley.
They really need BP and companies like it to continue their activities in the Gulf of Mexico to provide energy for America's future and reduce dependency upon imports.
He says that shutting BP out of the Gulf would be very difficult. It would mean that, or it could mean that BP's fields there might not be developed in the short term. And the U.S. would, for a time at least, lose access to much-needed oil, which is on its doorstep.
Mm. All right, Marketplace is Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
The economy is going to get worse in earthquake and tsunami-ravaged Japan before it gets better. That's what big businesses expect over the coming months, according to the latest survey from the Bank of Japan. From Tokyo, the BBC's Rachel Harvey reports now the central bank wanted a before and after earthquake picture.
The Bank of Japan re-released its report because it wanted to get a clearer picture of the effect last month's disaster is having on business sentiment. The difference is stark. Before the quake, Japanese manufacturers had been broadly optimistic. Afterwards, the mood turned negative. Economists like Martin Schulz of the Fujitsu Research Institute warn things could get worse. The report doesn't take into account the full impact of the devastation and the continuing crisis at the Fukushima nuclear power plant.
This is about the time that companies need to restart their entire supply chains to get their business going, to get exports going. And consumers are even more depressed than we have been seeing beforehand.
And the hit to sentiment extends beyond Japan's borders. The U.S. Business and Industry Council warned last week that the effect of the Japanese crisis is likely to hurt American companies harder than originally thought. In Tokyo, I'm the BBC's Rachel Harvey for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European stocks are slightly higher, mostly higher at the moment. Asian markets were up as well today. Minmetals Resources says it wants to make an all-cash offer of $6.5 billion to buy Equinox Minerals. Minmetals is the Hong Kong unit of China's biggest metal trading firm. Wall Street Friday, the Dow added 56 points to close at 12,376. And a correction. On Friday, we reported that Cosmopolitan magazine would be going on sale across the Arab world, including in Saudi Arabia. Well, the magazine will not be sold in Saudi Arabia.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. By Chevrolet, undertaking a carbon-reducing effort, investing in projects like wind farms and planting trees across America over the next few years. ChevyCarbonReduction.com. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud.
A new report out today says the nation's largest corporation, General Electric, will indeed pay taxes for 2010. The New York Times reported more than a week ago GE didn't pay any income taxes on billions of dollars it made last year. But the report today produced by ProPublica and Fortune.com says that's not altogether true. The story is co-authored by Fortune's Alan Sloan, who is with us now. Good morning, Alan.
Good Good morning, Steve.
So you found out GE did, in fact, pay taxes. How did the earlier reports get it so wrong?
They confused a number that goes to shareholders with the number that goes to the IRS, and they're different numbers.
So why didn't GE just come out with the PR machine and, you know, at the time say, whoa, that's not right. We really did pay some taxes. This was a mistake.
GE's tax department, which is notoriously secretive and I think not communicative even with the the rest of the company, and the PR department did not quite understand what was going on and were very confused and never got the message out. And as far as I know, still haven't gotten it out. But my partner, Jeff Girth, and I sort of figured this out. And after a whole lot of time, they said, you know, you're right. We really do have an income tax liability for 2010.
Do we have any idea of how much that liability is?
No. The term GE uses is small. And when I said what the small mean, nobody will tell me. And everything is relative. It won't actually be completely settled until GE finishes preparing its tax return for 2010, which is probably going to be a while from now because they got until September to file it.
What's the bottom line here, Alan?
Well, the bottom line is there's a very good story to be written on the operations of GE and its approach to taxes and its tax department because they are notoriously aggressive. They pay as little tax as possible, and there's a serious conversation to be held about that. But let's at least figure out what the problem is instead of shrieking and looking for victims and madmen and examples who are, in fact, not examples.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan. Alan, thanks.
You're welcome, Steve.
And finally, a New York man had an idea. Buy one of those old orange Staten Island ferries and convert it into college dorms for students. But Jacques Gallet told the Wall Street Journal docking it is way too much money, wouldn't turn a profit. So Gallet tried to sell the boat on eBay. Got no takers, though. He can always go the route of other former Staten Island ferries. One boat's now a floating methadone clinic, another a prison. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
A lot of businesses are converting to clean energy because, you know, it's good for the planet, but it's a pretty sweet deal for them, too.
As the price of traditional power increases, our prices generally stay flat.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Going green to save some green. We'll have the numbers and the day's business news as well next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.